Hi, everybody.
And welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Yes, we are. For the next couple months.
Yes.
It's glorious. It's
about 10-ish weeks, something like that.
Yes, as Mr. Burns would say. Excellent. well deserved.
Yes, not the reason why I became a teacher, but hey.
It's one of the great perks of being a teacher.
It is. Yes. And
yeah.
Couldn't have come at a better time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we're all ready for it. The timing was perfect.
Yes. Oh, well, there's only one way to start the summer. Yes. And that's with another Simpsons adventure here.
Yes.
And today we'll be talking about Season 6, Episode 5, titled Sideshow Bob Roberts. I guess that gives us a big clue on who's going to be in this episode.
Yep.
And it originally aired October 9th of 1994. Now, I'd like to say we're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags, but...
Alas, we are not.
Yes.
Because my usual segment here is... rendered useless.
Yes. They cut you out.
Yes. We do not have a title, whole sequence. We do not have a chalkboard gag. We do not have a couch gag.
Yep. I guess that lets us know this episode is going to be a little bit longer than usual.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't include the chalkboard or couch gags in here. So we're going to open up this particular episode with a shot of the KBBL radio studios. And then we hear a little jingle over the air. No sports, no rock, no information. For mindless chatter, we're your station, KBBL.
Very honest.
Yes.
Very honest.
I mean, I guess useless information. You listen to this radio station. Otherwise, something else.
There you go. If you're looking for something important, not going to find it here.
Mm-mm.
And so we hear the announcer, right? And apparently it's the talk radio portion of the day. And they say, now back to Springfield's favorite conservative and author of the well-selling book, Only Turkeys Have Left Wings.
Very clever title, by the
Very
way.
Very clever, yes. Mm-hmm. And they introduce Birch Barlow. Yes, and as they are announcing this, we are in Homer's
workstation.
Workstation, mm-hmm. And Lenny and Carl are there. Carl hears the announcement. He's not happy at all.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him a right-wing crackpot. Because he said Ted Kennedy lacked integrity. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yes, I can believe that. I
mean, that's very believable.
Very much so.
Uh-huh. While Lenny is like, yeah, switch the station. I consider myself politically correct. And his views make me uncomfortable.
Not a bad joke for 94.
Yeah. No, this is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It aged well.
Yes.
And Homer insists. He says, no. He's not very political. I think people who usually vote are a bit fruity.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, he says that Birch Barlow really speaks to him as he's chomping and chewing on an entire box of donuts.
Yes. And then we cut back to the KBBL studios and we see Birch doing the same thing.
Exactly.
He's so pounding back the donuts.
Yes. So they are, of course, kindred spirits in that sense.
Mm-hmm. So then we hear Barlow start on the mic. Good morning, fellow freedom likers. Birch Barlow, the fourth branch of government, the 51st state.
Yeah. So, if you don't know by this point, Birch Barlow is a caricature or a parody of none other than Rush Limbaugh, who was
mm-hmm.
a very, very famous conservative radio.
Isn't he the most famous?
Yeah, I think he's the most famous.
Yeah. Even to this day, I think.
That guy had listeners for so long and a lot of them.
Yes. He kept the AM alive as a format forever. Yes.
Not liked in many circles.
Yes.
Liked in other ones, of mm-hmm. course. But yeah, very controversial guy. But of course, yes, Birch Barlow is the imitation, the parody of none other than Rush Limbaugh. And whoever's doing the voice for Birch Barlow is doing a really, really good.
Yes, because it does sound like him.
Yeah, it's a really good impression. So mm-hmm. kudos to that.
Yes.
And so he continues, right? He says, you know, there are three things we're never going to get rid of here in Springfield. One, the bats in the public library. We cut to the library.
Yeah, somebody opens a card catalog. By the way, that's how you used to look for books back in the day, kids. Mm-hmm. Somebody's opened up the card catalog and bats just jump out of there. Yeah.
And then he says, two, Miss McFierty's compost heap. And we cut to the compost heap. Great scene.
Yeah, as we see a little old lady on a rocking chair holding a shotgun, and in front of her is this mountain of crap. Yeah. And she has this evil witch laugh.
Yes, while she's holding a shotgun. And he continues. And three, our six-term mayor, and we switch to Kim Quimby, who's doing some gardening.
Yes, he's watering a potted plant.
Yes. And then the illiterate, tax-cheating, wife-swapping, pot-smoking, spendocrat, Diamond Joe Quimby.
And Quimby's listening to this. He says, hey, I am no longer illiterate. But everything else he is.
Everything else is true. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he continues. Now, why are we doomed to this Quimby quagmire, you ask, reasonable listener? Because this town is under the stranglehold of a few tie-dyed tree-huggers who would rather play hack-and-sack than lock up the homeless.
So then... we cut to the Simpsons household, and Marge isn't too happy to be hearing this over the air in her house. She says, this sounds awful controversial, Lisa. You know I don't like controversy in this house.
Yes, and all this time, Lisa's been taking notes while they're listening, and she tells Marge, I don't like him either, but I'm doing a report on local politics for my school project.
And Bart's listening to this. Says, you think you're so big because your class is always gets to do projects. Well, I'm doing a school projects on our fireworks. And he breaks out a bundle of fireworks and he plops them on top of the table.
Marge, of course, suspicious of Bart, says, Bart, I wish you wouldn't lie like that. And she takes away the fireworks and puts it in the sink and turns on the water, right? Mm-hmm. Renders it useless.
Yep. So then we cut to Springfield Elementary, and Principal Skinner is apparently, we're at the auditorium.
Yeah.
And he's...
a huge auditorium for an elementary
school. Yes, so oddly huge, right? And he's got some Chinese-looking fellows sitting next to him while he's addressing the crowd. He's like, and now, as a special send-off, and a way to say gong hai fat choy to our visiting Chinese principals, Bart Simpson... has promised us a fireworks display. And he kind of like points to Bart.
And Bart just looks at Mrs. K and groans and she gives him an F.
Yes.
So Bart actually did have a fireworks project that he was going to display.
Yes. And then we see the one of the Chinese principals is like, all week he promised big firework display.
And he says, bad student.
And then the other guy goes, bad principal. And Seymour isn't happy about that.
He successfully embarrassed Principal Skinner.
By the way, I did look up what Gung Hai Fat Choi meant. Mm-hmm. It's something that Principal Skinner didn't bother to do himself because it means Happy New Year.
There you go. Mm. Now we're all a little smarter. And so we cut to Homer and Lisa now. They're in the car with the radio tuned to KBBL. And, of course, Birch Barlow is still in the air saying, so, my friends, let's just junk those Democrats and their Bleeding Heart Smell Fair program.
And Lisa starts to complain, Dad, I had to listen to this jerk all morning. Can we listen to something else?
Of course, Homer says, when I'm driving the car, I get to choose the radio station. When you're driving, we'll listen to your radio station, which, of course, is the rule.
Yes. And then we cut scene, and next thing we know, Lisa's driving while Homer's sitting next to her, not looking very happy, while we hear St. Elmo's Fire playing over the radio.
Yes, I would be unhappy too.
By the way, it didn't look like Lisa could even look over the steering wheel there.
Nope, but apparently Lisa knows how to drive.
Yes.
And so quickly we see Homer just saying, I can't take this anymore, let's switch back.
Yep.
Yeah, that's enough. And I don't blame him on this.
Not a big... St. Elmo's Fire fan?
No. It's not one of my favorite songs. Mm.
Hater.
A little bit. On that one, yeah. That one I will say.
Anyway, so we cut back to Barlow. He's like, all right, my friends, let's go to the phones. First up, Bob from South Springfield. Welcome to you, sir.
We hear a very familiar, menacing voice. Hello, Birch. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Kudos for bringing the public back to the Republican Party. It's high time people realize we conservatives aren't all Johnny Hate Mongers, Charlie Bible Thumps, or even, God forbid, George Bushes. And Lisa,
Lisa's listening to
very
us.
Quick. Uh-huh. She gasps and says, that sounds like Sideshow Bob.
And Homer's like, yes, ma'am. Sideshow Bob. Yakking it up on the old yak box.
And Lisa gets that look, right? Where she closes her eyes halfway and says, Dad, I'll spare you the embarrassment of admitting you don't know who Sideshow Bob is.
And Homer's like, whew. Because I don't know how he could not know who Sideshow Bob is.
It is.
He's trying to kill his kid.
Multiple times.
Yes, yes.
And so Lisa explains, right? And we go into little flashback scenes here. And so she tells the story, of course, how Sideshow Bob used to be Krusty's sidekick. And then in 1990, he framed Krusty for armed robbery. And Bart got him put in jail. And we're like, okay, And says when he got out, he married Aunt Selma and tried to murder her.
And then Homer goes, oh, Sideshow Bob.
I love that that's what triggers his memory.
Yes, the murdering Selma.
Yes, which will come up again later on. And so we come back to Simpson's house, and Lisa goes into Bart's room, and she says, Bart, your mortal enemy is on the radio. And she turns on the radio.
And then we hear, it's time for more Dementia with Dr. Demento.
And Bart screams and throws the radio out the window.
By the way, we were talking about this before we started recording. You never listened to Dr. Demento.
I have not.
And like I told you, you didn't miss much. I never really got into it. Never saw the point, the purpose.
There's some people that swear by that.
The entertainment value, I never saw it.
I've always known that it existed, but I've never cared to actually
listen.
Look into it, yeah. Mm-hmm. No. As Eddie Bravo says, look into it. No.
For those of you wondering who the hell Dr. Demento is... he had a syndicated radio show where he would play songs that, I guess, scary or something.
Yeah. Or just weird themed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too brushed up on that.
Yeah.
But anyway. And so Lisa says, I'm in your other mortal enemy, Sideshow Bob. Right? And then Bart's just, you know.
Like, oh, no. I'm only 10 and I already have two mortal enemies.
Which is, you think about it, yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh.
And so Quimby is, I guess, trying to win back some, you know, credibility here. And he has a gripe at the mayor night at the Springfield Retirement Castle. Right? And he's trying to promote this new layout for an expressway.
Yeah, and he goes, and this proposed expressway will bring increased commerce to our local merchants.
Everybody's talking. And, of course, Abe Simpson. What's in it for us?
And Jasper's like, yeah, give us something we like or we'll ride you out of town on a rail.
And so Quimby says, okay, well, what do you people like?
And Jasper goes, sleep.
And hear another guy goes, sexy dames and plenty of them.
And then finally we hear Grandpa, Matlock.
Yes, of course, because the old people love their Matlock.
Mm-hmm.
And Quimby says, well, I suppose I could name the Matlock Expressway.
And everyone goes crazy because they love this idea.
Of course.
Old people love Matlock. What can you say?
And so we come back to class, right? Bart's in class. He's listening to a Walkman in class. Uh-huh. Terrible.
Yep.
He's listening to the radio and you hear Sideshow Bob. He says, but it would be terribly myopic of me to blame all my current woes on one spiky-haired little simpleton.
So Barlow goes, myopic. Or, to say the least, intransigent. Now, you mentioned some woes there?
Yes, well, you see, Birch, I'm presently incarcerated. And, of course, now we see Sideshow Bob in prison where there's a riot.
Yeah, he's on a payphone.
Yes, and he says, convicted of a crime I didn't even commit. He says, attempted murder. Honestly, what is that? Do they give out a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry? Do they? Right, and there's stuff flying around.
Uh-huh.
And he actually almost gets hit with the toilet seat, right?
Yeah, being those the whole toilet, yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, really? Now this is a personal call." And so
we cut back to Barlow.
Yep.
And he's like, "My friends, isn't that just typical? Another intelligent conservative here, railroaded by our liberal justice system, just like Colonel Oliver North, Officer Stacy Coon, and cartoon spokesperson Joe Campbell." By the way, So Oliver North, infamous for his role in the Iran-Contra scandal, where there were
affair.
And Officer Stacy Coon, who was arrested for messing with Rodney King. And I think Joe Camel is...
selling cigarettes to kids.
Yes. Well known for selling cigarettes to kids.
So not a good list of examples.
Nope.
And so he says that he's going to make it his mission now to...
set Bob free.
Yes. And as he says that, Bart yells out, "No!" while he's in class.
And
we get that meme.
Yes.
Where everybody's looking back at him?
Yeah, everybody's... Miss Krabappel's like writing on the chalkboard looking back, and everybody's looking back at him. And Krabappel goes, "Well, despite Bart's objection, the people of South Africa can now vote in free democratic elections." So
Bart
she
did
thought,
not look good there.
No, I guess Miss Krabappel thought that Bart was a fan of apartheid.
Yeah.
That would get you canceled today.
Yes. Very much so.
And deservedly so.
Deservedly so.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so we switch back to Moe's, and they're listening to the radio there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear Barlow say, "My friends, Bob is a political prisoner. I want every loyal listener to do everything they can to get him out of jail."
Moe hears this. He says, "All right, you heard the man." He reaches down, pulls out a box, and he opens it up. There's a bunch of grenades in the box.
Yes.
He says, "One grenade each," and he starts handing them out.
Barney jumps in and is like, "Moe, I think he meant through nonviolent grassroots political action."
And Moe's like, "Oh, geez, really? You think so? All right, give him back." Then everybody starts getting the grenades back. He's like, "Come on, everybody, give him back. Hey, who pulled a pin on this one?"
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened after that.
Something messy, I think. Something rather messy.
And so we cut to a little clip of the Springfield Shopper, right? The headlines are that Bob's pardon is the number one local issue, right? And then the subheading is the edges out the no fat chicks ordinance. Yeah.
What are they trying to do in Springfield there?
Who knows? And so Quimby, we cut to him and he says, "Very well. That is the way the winds are blowing. Let no one say I don't also blow." And he dials the phone and we cut to Bob leaving. "A special order of the mayor of Springfield," he says, "you are hereby granted a full and complete pardon. Congratulations, Robert Anderdug Terwilliger." And
by the way, that's an awful amount of power for a local mayor to have.
Yeah, a mayor does not have that kind of power, ladies and gentlemen.
That would be the governor, right? The governor or the president.
Yeah, exactly. A mayor does not have that much power.
No. So then we see Bob walking out of prison. And he's got this menacing walk about him until he falls off the cliff into the water.
Yes, because apparently this prison's like Alcatraz.
Yeah.
And the guard informs him that the boat's on the other side.
And Bob just very angrily, "Yes, thank you."
And so we cut to the next scene. We are at the Republican Party headquarters, which is a very, very evil-looking castle.
Yeah, it's a castle on top of a cliff with a long, winding road leading up to it.
And we cut to a group of men sitting inside a room around a table, big fireplace. Smithers is handing out martinis, working there. And we have Rainer Wolfcastle, Birch Barlow. We have the vampire-looking guy.
Yeah.
We have the blue-haired lawyer.
Yep.
Dr. Hibbert. And then...
the Texan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that, last but not least, Mr. Burns walks into the room. Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
So Mr. Burns goes, "Hail, brothers. Cordon, Celaria, Ozu, Mahak."
Everyone says, "Mahak."
Then he says, "Now, gentlemen, the mayoral campaign is upon us. And if we hope to defeat this Joe Quimby, we need a leader with a name recognition and media savvy. A true leader who will do exactly as he's told.
So Birch Barlow jumps in and says, Monty, I'm way ahead of you. You just open that door, you'll see the next mayor of Springfield. The door opens, and all we see is a water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And the water cooler bubbles.
And everybody's like, what did he say? What did he say?
And Barlow says, no. Bob, come in. And, of course, Sideshow Bob enters, wrapped in the U.S. flag.
And he says, a fine mock to you all.
And Hibbert says, why, this is even better.
And Wolf Castle goes, I agree. I like the human Dodge. they were ready to vote for a water cooler just because the party was going to run a water cooler as mayor.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm. So then we go back to Springfield Elementary. And apparently, I've never seen anything like this before. But the candidates for mayor, Joe Quimby and Sideshow Bob, are going to speak to elementary kids about issues on education.
Yes, to a bunch of people that can't vote.
Yes. And probably don't understand what the hell's going on either.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so Skinner's out there and says, now students, I want you to be on your best behavior for this carefully choreographed media event. Now this means that there's no wising off, no face making, and no grass eating. You, Ralph.
And then we turn to Ralph and he's got a face full of grass already.
Yes.
He's like, yes, sir.
And so Sideshow Bob says, hello, children. Hello, Bart.
And Bart's like, eep.
With young friends, my opponent, Joe Quimby, is confused about your school system. Do you know what he does? He flip-flops. And he starts doing backflips, right, all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. So the kids are all clapping. Uh-huh. So sometimes he doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He starts doing this weird walk backwards and forwards, and he points his body, like in both directions.
Yep.
And the children clap again. He says, he wants to sell your future short. And he sinks into his suit, right? He looks like a little person.
It kind of looks like a freaking fire hydrant, too. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so Lisa's upset now. She's like, Bart, we can't let Bob steal the spotlight. We're going to have to stoop to the lowest common denominator.
And Bart, of course, says, I can do that. Next thing we know, we hear Quimby yelling, ah, help, I'm being attacked by things.
Yes.
And then we turn around, we see Bart and Lisa all over him, hugging him.
Mm-hmm. So because Bart and Lisa have now jumped into Quimby's arms, and Lisa says, Uncle Bear was just saying that us kids are the most important natural resource we have.
So Kid Brockman asks, more important than coal?
Yes.
And of course he gave the right answer because that made everyone extremely happy.
And so as this happens, so we see a pair of hands come in and they drag Bart into a limousine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being held by two goons.
Yeah, two large goons.
Yes.
And Bob is sitting across from him. He says, that was a big mistake, Bart. No children have ever meddled with the Republican Party and lived to tell about it. And I think we both decided that that was our favorite line from this episode.
That's not my favorite.
Is it?
But it's one of my favorites.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I really, really love that line.
That is,
it's my favorite.
That's I'll let you take that one.
So next thing you know, Bob snaps his fingers. The two guys that are holding Bart down reach into their jackets, and Bart looks really scared here.
Yeah.
But next thing you know, they pull out two buttons. They pin it on Bart. One says, one's a red, white, and blue elephant. Yes. And the other one says, vote Bob. And they toss him out into the Simpsons front lawn.
Yes. And as the limo speeds away, another car pulls up, which is Archie's jalopy,
yes,
his old beat-up car,
uh-huh,
and it pulls in front of the house, and now Homer is tossed by Moose, mm-hmm, into the yard and tells him, stay out of Riverdale.
I don't know how Homer got involved with the Riverdale gang, but apparently they didn't like him at all.
They threw him out of town. And so we cut to now a TV commercial, right? And it's this whole elaborate song about how much Springfield would stink without Mayor Quimby,
mm-hmm,
right?
So the song goes, without our Mayor Quimby, our town would really sink. we wouldn't have a tire yard or mid-sized fire or mid-sized roller rink.
And that roller rink looks really small.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we wouldn't have our gallows or our shiny Bigfoot trap. And we see Quimby kind of like polishing the trap up.
Yeah,
and
then we see the noose before that.
So then it's not our mayor's fault that the stadium collapsed. And then we see the collapse of Springfield Stadium. And of course, all Mayor Quimby does is kind of shrug it off.
Yes. And then we hear a voice says, Quimby, if you were running for mayor, he'd vote for you. Paid for by the Mayor Quimby for Mayor Mayoral Committee.
He really wanted people to know he was mayor.
Yes.
And what he was running for.
And so we cut to Bart and Lisa, who are trying to do their part by handing out bumper stickers.
Mm-hmm. So Bart's yelling out, hey, Four Eyes, vote Quimby. Hey, Beardo, vote Quimby.
Lisa jumps in and says, this time he's the lesser of two evils.
So then Jimbo walks up. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I love Grimby. Can I have some more bumper stickers, please, dude?
And so Bart gives him some, and he walks back to a shopping cart where they have, which you can see is Milhouse,
yes,
taped up with bumper stickers. And the only thing that's not taped up yet is his eyes.
Yes.
And that's where the last one goes.
Uh-huh.
So this mummy of Milhouse now.
Yeah, Jimbo's like, all right, the mummy's ready for his mystical journey.
And they throw him down the hill in a shopping cart. And Milhouse is just yelling, what's happening? Not very Thrillhouse.
Yeah, no, he was all Milhouse, not Thrillhouse at all.
And so now, Sideshow Bob is doing what Quimby was doing earlier, and he is at the Springfield Retirement Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Abe's yelling at him. He says, that Quimby fellow promised to build us a Matlock Expressway. How are you going to top that, smart guy?
And Bob goes, well, how's this? I'll not only build the expressway, I'll spend the rest of the afternoon patiently listening to your interminable antidotes.
What a horrible thing to say.
Oh, God.
Abe just says, hot ziggity Sam, me first.
And
everybody gathers around. It's like, not many people know I own the first radio in Springfield. Weren't much in the air then. Just Edison reciting the alphabet over and over. A, he'd say. Then B. C would usually follow.
By the way, would you agree with me that Abe's stories should be against the Geneva Convention?
Yes, I do.
That's just a special kind of torture.
Maybe right not there. So much his stories, but the way he tells his stories.
Yeah, God, man. I remember I was wearing an onion on my belt.
That's the best one.
So next thing we know, we are going to cut back to TV, and we're watching a Sideshow Bob TV commercial. And they have this, I don't know if you remember the when Dukakis, no, you were way too young.
Too young for that.
Are you even alive? Dukakis and Ronnie?
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
I was born in 86.
It reminded me of one of the ads that Ronnie ran against Dukakis.
Gotcha.
Because he was soft on crime, right?
Ah.
And I forget the name of the guy. One of the criminals in Massachusetts or wherever the hell Dukakis was from, he got brought up in the campaign, right? So this ad kind of reminded me of that particular ad, right? So we hear the commercial start. Mayor Quimby supports revolving door prisons. Mayor Quimby even released Sideshow Bob, a man twice convicted of attempted murder. Can you trust a man like Mayor Quimby? Vote Sideshow Bob for mayor. Yes.
And so then we cut to the Springfield Community Center where they are going to have the debates.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the famous Larry King is going to moderate.
Yes.
And he's there. So the League of Uninformed Voters presents the Springfield mayoral debates.
Very apropos, by the way.
Yes. I'm your moderator, Larry King. Now, a word to our audience. Even though we're being broadcast on Fox, there's no need for obnoxious hooting and hollering.
And, of course, the crowd starts to
yes, and holler. Because, like we were talking about before the show, this is in the era of Married with Children, where you have all those reactions.
For right? Al Bundy. And then, of course, exactly. Arsenio Hall was on the air.
With all the hooting.
Uh-huh.
And so, we see offstage, Sideshow Bob's getting ready. He's getting a blow dry, getting a comb.
Mm-hmm.
He has his cue cards, right? Smiling, trying to figure out the right smile. And Quimby looks rough.
Yeah.
He looks rough. He's sick. He's sneezing into a handkerchief and he says, I shouldn't have shaken hands with those old people.
And Bart gives him a bunch of pills and he takes them and he stumbles onto the stage. And Lisa goes, I hope that flu doesn't affect his performance out there.
Bart says, don't worry. He's taking a million of these capsules. And we look at the box and it's the extra drowsy formula for the flu.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That, we know he's in trouble now, right? Mm-hmm. So the first question goes to Birch Barlow. He goes, Sideshow Bob, Councilman Les Winans says you're not experienced enough to be mayor. Sir, what do you have to say about that?
I'd say that Les Winans ought to do more thinking and less whining.
And everybody starts to hoot and holler again, right?
Yes, and Lisa knows very quickly that there is no Councilman Les Winans.
And Bart goes, good line, though.
Yep.
So back to Barlow.
Yeah. He says, Mayor Quimby, you're well known, sir, for your lenient stance on crime. But suppose for a second that your house was ransacked by thugs, your family tied up in the basement with socks in their mouths. You try to open the door, there's too much blood on the knob.
Quimby cuts him off. Well, what's your question?
My question is about the budget, sir. And yes, and as he does that, Quimby's groaning, he's sweating. Lisa and Bart know that he looks really, really rough.
Yeah, he kind of like messes with his hair and it looks like he's got devil's horns on there now.
And then actually the TV broadcast starts like imposing.
Like a ring of fire around him.
They make him look really, really evil. There's even a disclaimer that says that the flames are added electronically by Channel 6.
Uh-huh.
And he is not looking good.
Not at all. So apparently it is now election day because we see Homer stepping inside a booth. And he...
And he's waiting, he's looking at the vote, and this is one of my favorite lines of the episode. One of them. He's looking at the ballot, and he says, I don't agree with this Bart killing policy, but I do approve of his Selma killing policy.
And he votes for Bob.
Yep.
Next, we get to Krusty. And Krusty's like, well, he framed me for armed robbery, but man, I'm aching for that upper class tax cuts. And he votes for Bob as well.
And so we cut to Quimby's headquarters, and everybody's watching the results. And Kent Brockman comes on the news and says, and the results are in. For Sideshow Bob, 100%. For Joe Quimby, 1%. And we remind you, there's a 1% margin of error.
So everyone moans and starts to leave. There's a guy who's already kind of like sweeping up, trying to get the hell out of there, and so he can go home, right? There's no more, they grab some champagne. And they run away. And then we go to the Bob campaign headquarters for his victory speech.
Yes. And there's no speech. And Kent says, and just look how happy he is. And we hear that legendary, menacing Kelsey Grammer Sideshow Bob laugh.
Yeah. I can't do it any...
it's so good.
We can't do it any justice.
Yeah, there's no way that we could do it justice. Uh-huh. It's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. So, next thing we know, it's the next day. Marge and Homer are asleep in bed when a loud banging starts to shake the house and wake them up.
And this is one of the other great lines of the episode because Homer wakes up and says, ah, it's the rapture. Quick, get Bart out of the house before God comes.
Yes, good. The demon child Bart.
Yep.
So, Maggie and her stuffed toys are bouncing all around the crib. Homer runs out in his pajamas and then he opens the door and he sees Bob right away. He's like, so sorry, Mr. Simpson, your house is blocking the construction of our new Matlock Expressway.
Yes, and we see it already like half built on top of it. And he tells him, I'm a fair man. You have 72 hours to vacate. At that time, we will blow up your house and any remaining Simpsons.
And Marge's like, Homer, we've got to stop them.
And Homer says, I know what you're up to, Mayor Terwilliger. No one in my family is going to stand for it.
And then we hear a car honking. Mm-hmm. And then we look up, and it's Grandpa Simpson trying to drive across the new Matlock Expressway. Mm-hmm. And he yells down at Homer, move your goddamn house, son.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Talk about kicking a man when he's down.
Yep. And so we go to Springfield Elementary, and Skinner walks up to Bart and says, Bart, by special request of the mayor's office, you're going to be left back.
And Bart goes, Oh, you mean I have to repeat the fourth grade?
Well, yes, but not for 4 or 5 years. Bart, you're going to kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
And as that happens, we see Mrs. K pop a champagne cork, and she just...
Yeah, she's getting ready to celebrate.
Yep. And so we cut to Bart's first day in his new class, right? And to the teacher very slowly. She says, mm-hmm. Now, boys and girls, who knows what this is?
And Bart raises hands. Triangle.
She's very good, Bart. You have first choice of toys for free play.
She says, cool. I call the Flintstone phone, and he runs to it, and he picks it up, and he dials. And
he presses Fred, right? Mm-hmm. Very cheesy line. Yabba-yabba-do. I like talking to you. So, again, we're talking before the show. That's not the first Flintstones reference where they've actually, like flat out, you know, done it. So I'm guessing they have some kind of
They paid the licensing fee or something. Yeah. Like that, yeah.
And so we're at dinner, and Homer's not feeling good about all this. We're going to lose our house and end up living under a bridge like common trolls.
And Lisa says, I don't think Bob won the election legally. I can't believe a convicted felon would get so many votes and another convicted felon would get so few. Mm-hmm. That does make sense.
That does make sense.
Yes, it does.
And so she goes off to the Springfield Hall of Records, and this man comes with a big stack of paper, and he says, here you go, the results of last month's mayor election, all 48,000 voters, and who each of them voted for.
And Lisa goes, I thought this was a secret ballot.
And the guy just goes, eh. And so Lisa starts, right? She starts with the A's. The first name is Aaron A. Aronson. And she voted Bob. She keeps going down, and everybody's voting Bob. And she falls asleep.
Yeah. Right. While she's nodding off, right, her head is on the table, we see a shadow approach and leave an envelope in front of her, and then it runs off.
Yes.
But it was enough to waken her, and she gets up, and she... kind of like opens up the envelope and reads it.
Yes. And so she gasps, right? And so we cut to Bart and says, so whoever it is wrote that note wants to meet us here tonight.
And Lisa goes, this is so cool, Bart. We're just like Woodward and Bernstein.
Bart says, yeah, except their dad wasn't waiting in the car reading Archie comics. And of course we cut to Homer in the car reading Archie comics.
Stuck up Riverdale punks. Think they're too good for me. He's really salty about being kicked out of Riverdale.
Yes, he is.
By the way, in case somebody doesn't know who Woodward and Bernstein are, you guys remember Richard Nixon, Mr. I Am Not a Crook, the whole Watergate scandal? Yeah, you can thank Woodward and Bernstein for that.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Legendary.
Yes.
That's some legendary stuff right mm-hmm. there. And so... The children approach a shadowy figure smoking a cigarette. Right? Mm-hmm. And the man says, you're on the right track. Follow the names.
And Bart goes, how the hell do you know?
He says, I can't tell you who I am, but I worked on the campaign.
And then we hear a car screeching, pull up, and the lights get pointed directly at the guy. And we see it's none other than Mr. Smithers.
And Homer even... sticks his head out of the car and says, hey, Mr. Smithers, waving at him.
Yeah. And Smithers is like, well, you might as well give me a ride home now. So the next thing we know, we're in the car. We're driving. They're driving him back home, right? He's like, I've never gone behind Mr. Burns' back before. But Sideshow Bob's ultra-conservative views conflict with my choice of lifestyle. I thought it wasn't a choice. All you can do... All I can do is give you one name, Edgar Neubauer. Find him, and you'll find your answer. I had to throw that in there. I had to throw that in there.
Yes, you did. Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that one, to be honest with you. Yeah. All right, so Lisa and Bart grab the phone book, and they're looking for the name, right?
There's nothing there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they go to the library, right, to the card catalog. Bats fly out again.
Yeah.
nothing happens.
Uh-huh.
So Lisa's giving up. She's like, this is hopeless. They're going to demolish our house for sure. We're going to have to stay in a Motel 6.
Bart's like, but Dad can't afford $6 a night.
It's terrible.
Uh-huh.
And so Bart runs off and he says, Lisa, come here. I found him. I found Edgar Neubauer. And he points to the cemetery, and there is a tombstone that says, Edgar Neubauer, beloved husband and old grouch, who died in 1909.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he says, oh my God, the dead have risen and they're voting Republican.
Another great line, by the way.
Great line, yes.
By the way, this is commonly known in Chicago, but it's they vote Democrat there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, they got this from somewhere, guys. It's because it happens.
Yes.
Right? Not just Republicans, but Democrats. Not just Democrats, but Republicans.
It doesn't matter which party. There has been dead people voting before, apparently.
Yep. So then Lisa goes, no, Bart, don't you see? Dead people can't vote. And she's like, Prudence, she starts looking through the list, right? Prudence Goodwife died 1641. She voted for Bob, too. So did Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. And they keep walking. They get into the pet cemetery. Like, even the pet cemetery voted for Bob. Look, Mr. and Mrs. Banana, Humphrey Bogart. Oh, my poor dead kitty. Please, not you, too. All right, because she saw Snowball 2.
And she saw Snowball 1.
Snowball 1. And he voted for Bob, too, right? He's like, all right, Bob, now it's personal.
Yeah, doesn't matter if she was trying to kill her. He was trying to kill her brother.
But yeah, yeah. Her dead cat voted for him. It's personal now.
Yes. And you were mentioning earlier, Stampy was on the list
yes.
as well.
Stampy. I guess Mr. Blackheart got him. Anyway, in the sanctuary, because Stampy's name was on the list, too.
So according to that list, Stampy is no longer
with us.
Yes. And so we cut to another headline of the Springfield Shopper, and it says the call for probe in Bob Flapp. And the editorial, right, little note says, why not let dead pets vote? And so we see the bulldozers coming toward the Simpsons home. Marge is trying to defend the house with a rolling pin.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Homer is grabbed onto the wrecking ball.
And it slams him into a wall.
Uh-huh. Right. And let's just be, I guess Homer should be glad he's full of padding.
Yes.
Because he would have been squished
otherwise.
That
happens to him in the movie, remember?
Yes.
The rock and the hard place. Back yeah. and forth. That's a great scene. And so we cut to the Springfield Town Hall, and there's a court in session. Lionel Hutz is waiting for Sideshow Bob, right, to be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor walks in. Simpson children are very nervous. So Lionel Hutz starts. He says, Mr. Mayor, is it true you rigged the election?
Bob goes, no, I did not.
And Lionel Hutz says, which of course voiced by the great Phil Hartman, we mentioned.
Yes.
Says, kids help.
And then Bob goes, I don't mind. We want these children to feel justice has been served. That way they can sleep soundly tonight on their hard, feculent motel pillows. By the way, if you don't know what feculent means, the root word is feces.
Yeah. Gross.
Yes.
Nasty. And so Bob says, well, Bart, Lisa, here I am.
And Lisa goes, I have a plan. I think we can trap him. So they get up. They walk up to Bob. And she grabs the water. I thought it was his water.
And it was, right?
Yeah, she grabs it and she drinks and plops the glass down. He's like, you know, Sideshow Bob, I believe you when you say you're innocent.
Indeed I am.
And Lisa keeps going, because we all know you're a naive pawn. Puppet, if you will, of the most diabolical political genius Springfield has ever known. Birchibald T. Barlow.
And you see him shocked, right? You see Birch Barlow shocked.
And then Lisa keeps going, you don't have the intelligence to rig an election by yourself, do you?
Bart jumps in, you were just Barlow's lackey.
Lisa jumps in, you were Ronnie to his Nancy.
Sonny to his Cher, Bart says.
And then Lisa goes, Ringo to the rest of the Beatles.
And Bob can't stand it any longer. He yells, enough lies, lies, lies. I did it. I did it all there.
Well, it didn't take much to get him to confess, did it?
Yes. And Bart yells at him, we want the truth. And of course, we get our Few Good Men reference here.
Bob goes, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. No truth handler, you. Bah, I deride your truth handling abilities.
And the judge says, well, you get to the point.
And Bob goes, only I could have executed such a masterpiece of electoral fraud. And I have the records to prove it. Here, just look at these. And he pulls out binders and floppy disk guys, floppy disks.
Yes.
Floppy. Out from his hair. And he plops them down on the tables. Each one a work of Machiavellian art.
Yes. And so the judge asks why he did it. And he tells him, because you need me, Springfield. Your guilty conscience may force you to vote Democratic. But deep down inside, you secretly long for a cold-hearted Republican to lower taxes, brutalize criminals, and rule you like a king. That's why I did this, to protect you from yourselves. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a city to run.
By the way, we can tell here the Simpsons, the writers are not fans of Republicans.
Yeah, they are not fans of the Republicans.
Now, I'll give them credit. They do a good job of bashing on the Democrats, too.
Yes, but you can tell where they go harder.
Yes. So the judge goes, bailiffs, place the mayor under arrest.
And he just, Bob kind of stops for a minute. He goes, oh, yes, all the stuff I did. And so they handcuff him, right? He's going away.
And Lisa's all happy while they're doing this. She says, Bart, we did it. Now we get to keep our house and you get to go back to the fourth grade.
And Bart's disappointed because tomorrow they were going to find out who the dish ran away with.
And Lisa goes, the spoon, Bart.
Of course. Terrible.
Yeah, he has this really happy look on his face. When they snapped a picture for the headline for tomorrow's Springfield Shopper, which reads, Toddlers Topple Mayor.
We see Abe's picture in the subheading, though. Mm-hmm. Expressway Halt Rankles Elderly.
And next thing we know, we see Bob crumpling the newspaper in disgust and throwing it, right? He's like, I'm sorry, someday I'll have my vengeance. Someday when I find my way out of this savage, roach-ridden cesspool.
The Springfield Minimum Security Prison.
By the way, it looks pretty swanky, doesn't it?
It does. Uh-huh. And we hear a man say, Terwilliger's a Yaley! Which is from Yale.
Yeah.
And then we hear another guy say, Bob, come along. We need an ace to row against the Princeton alums.
And Bob goes, Princeton!
And then we hear the stroke. So the Rowan crew.
Yes.
Right.
By the way, that's a big sport in the Northeast, right?
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it's much
Ivy League big sport.
Yeah. For sure. I don't think it's much of a sport anywhere else, but
it is a sport.
It is, but it's really big in the Northeast.
Yeah, it's big.
Not so much in the rest of the U.S.
Yeah, no. Which is a shame because it's like a pretty interesting thing to do.
Yeah, but where are we going to do it here?
Yeah, not here.
Yeah, there's no lakes.
They do it in Austin quite a bit.
Yeah, but they have lakes over
there. They're lucky, yeah, they have lakes over there. Mm-hmm. So.
By the way, didn't UT just win the national championship for rowing?
I don't know.
They did.
Very nice.
They did.
Uh-huh.
Hook them.
Yes. But with that, yes, we end the episode with Bob getting ready to row crew.
Yes, against Yale.
Against Princeton.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Because he's a Yaley. Huh?
And that is the end of this episode.
Yes. So, what kind of donut rating would you give this episode?
It's a good episode. I like all the political talk in it.
Yeah.
All the jokes are good.
Uh-huh.
I love the secret society of Republicans in Springfield. It's hilarious. Of course, it's all of them.
Yes.
It's a really, really good episode. I don't know why they cut out the gags, though. Like, completely.
The time.
But still.
You need to get a few more gags in there.
Yeah, but that's a little unforgivable.
Mm.
Or at least have one.
Yeah.
They didn't have both.
They didn't have anything.
You know, I'll take a recycled couch gag over no couch gag.
You just bitter because they cut out your little segment.
They did. Yes, I feel slighted. I feel personally slighted by this.
So how many donuts would that be?
To me, it's a solid episode. It's a good episode. I'll give it a 4 out of 5 donuts.
4 out of 5 donuts.
4 out of 5 donuts. Solid episode. Good jokes. Mm. Good quotes. Got a few memes in there.
Yeah. I myself would give this a 4.5 donut rating. That's the only knock I'm going to give it. The no couch gag, no chalkboard gag, Everything else I thoroughly enjoyed. The visual gags were good.
Yes.
The the jokes were good. I mean, there's not much to complain about in this episode.
Yeah. Homer's ready to sell out Bart, not to anger God. I love that.
We have the only vampire in town, apparently, is a Republican.
Yes.
Bloodsucker.
Of course, Mr. Burns is.
The leader of...
Yes, said Republican group. Yeah, but and again, the guy who ever did the... Whoever did the Rush Limbaugh impression here, great.
A good mahawk to him.
A good mahawk to him, yes.
He did an excellent job. Even the inflections, everything was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, solid episode. Great episode.
Yep. Would you, is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off for the week?
We made it to the summer. We're going to be recording more often now, I believe.
Yes, 2 a week, probably.
Probably 2 a week. I think we're going to, our next episode, we're going to change, time of year, right?
Yeah, it's going to be spooky season.
It's going to be spooky season in, June.
Yep.
When we do this again.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. We have a Treehouse of Horror coming up. Good one. One of the better ones, I would say, too.
There's a bunch of good episodes coming up.
Yes, there is.
And we will get to discuss them two at a time this week. Very well. For the rest of the summer, probably.
Yes.
So we can hurry this little experiment along. Don't forget to go by and pay our little show Instagram page a visit. That's official_Homer's_donuts without the apostrophes. Give us a follow there. If there's anything we can do to make this show better for you, give us a suggestion. If you listen to us on Apple, give us a little 5-star rating there. Mm-hmm. We would appreciate it. It would help more people find us.
Yes. Give us a follow on Spotify. Uh-huh. If you use Spotify.
Yes. If you listen to some other kind of platform that allows you to rate us, please do so. We don't like to beg much here, but we're begging here. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.